As you well know, Josh, Santa Claus lives in all of us. You know, we may not believe in the old Santa at the mall or Santa down a chimney, but if you really care about the spirit of Christmas, you know he's real, don't you?
Well, you know, the funny thing is, on one hand, we can say, yes, the spirit of Santa lives within all of us, but what sort of shocked me was discovering, based upon a project that I started a few years ago, that there are people out there who swear that they have actually seen Santa Claus as adults. And in fact, as I talk to you right now, I have a folder in front of me that is full of a stack of papers from people from all over the United States, at very least, saying, I have seen Santa Claus. And it sounds absurd to many people at first, but it makes sense to me, because, you know, we have spoken frequently about how that many ghostly and paranormal phenomena may be the product of what is considered tulpas or thought forms. And that is to say that even if you believe that there is no way something like Santa Claus could exist, well, Santa Claus does exist in terms of the collective sort of sense we have about how a personality is materializing. We know what Santa is supposed to be. We know what he looks like. We know how his voice may sound. We know that he has reindeer and elves and where he lives. And the fact that we all know this means that we almost create this kind of a mental model for what Santa Claus is. And the tulpa or thought form phenomenon is founded on the fact that in some cases, we actually can create something that we want to be there, and it will take on an independent life form. And I swear, George, I have got a report right here in front of me. In 1980, I won't use last names, a woman named Cecilia in Miami said that she actually discovered Santa Claus standing in her living room, and she asked him where the toys came from. And he answered, quote, they are not made on Earth, yet I inspire the toy makers, end quote. In 1972, a woman in Spencer, North Carolina, named Betty, says she clearly saw Santa and his sleigh pulled by a complete team of reindeer across the Christmas Eve sky. 1963, a man named Don in Dayton, Tennessee, swears he and his brother not only saw Santa but observed the tracks in the snow around the house, and I can go on and on and on, and these are very sincere, heartfelt reports.
Well, you know, when I was a kid, I thought I saw Santa too, Josh. Honest to God, I was outside, and I could swear that I saw him streaking across the sky. It was really weird, and then he kind of like dipped down, and then he was gone. And, you know, your conventional mind says, come on, George, you're making it up. It's not happening. But I'm telling you, it was something very strange. Have you ever had an encounter like that?
You know, I have seen so many unusual things in the sky that I'm glad you brought that up, because when you go outside on Christmas Eve and look up, as so many people do, it increases the chance, obviously, that we will get odd reports from Christmas Eve. I contacted Dean Worsing, who has been on the program before, a good friend of mine, Lemur member, and I asked Dean if he had an example of some great night vision video that we could put on the website to show people what is being described this time of year. And I do have some posted. Lex has put a link there to joshuapwarren.com. Go look at this video footage shot with third-generation night vision, and it shows this very odd light that is not an airplane, it's not a planet, it's not something conventional, that just goes streaking across the sky. It doesn't make any noise, and people all over the world see this. Now, is it because that, well, they're looking more on Christmas Eve, so they are naturally bound to see UFOs? Or could it be that what people used to describe as Santa Claus is what you and I might call a UFO today? I don't know, but either way, I'm telling you, there is more of this stuff this time of year when people are talking about the idea of spiritual and mythical beings. whether it's Santa and his elves, or if it is the idea of angels and miracles, people open their minds, and we also know that this time of year, atmospherically, the electrostatic energy is heightened in this part of the world, and there is no doubt that all the components are in place for us to both mentally and physically help these things manifest. And people are saying, I have seen Santa, I have seen elves, not in some type of sort of, you know, euphemistic or philosophical way. This is a real experience, and a lot of people have never had an outlet for it. Maybe we'll even get some people who contact the show now and want to go on the record.
Oh, well, we'll take calls in just a few moments with you about these Christmas paranormal moments. You know, you just mentioned elves. What's your take on them? I mean, you know, of course, the traditional elf is a Santa helper, but I've had a lot of guests on the program, Joshua, where they talk about little people, leprechauns, elves, and that they're as real, they say, as you and I are.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, that's another really interesting component when it comes to this time of year and how it relates to some of the old European traditions. Let me start by saying I recently had what for me was a pretty profound paranormal experience. Last time I talked to you, I told you that I obtained the old jail here in Asheville, North Carolina, and I've turned it into a free museum that features some of the most extreme and unusual history. And the gallows were right outside the building. Jails are notoriously haunted. On a side note, let me say that one thing that's a little bit negative this time of year, we hear stories about people getting depressed and suicides and all that. And I've gotten some pretty remarkable photos recently that show what could actually be the apparition of bodies in mid-fall, jumping in that type of situation, which I also have posted there at the website. But point being, as I got into the jail, I wanted to sort of fill the jail with things that were going to trigger and stimulate paranormal phenomena. One of the things I have is a doll that was sent to me.
Not a Robert the doll. Come on.
It's
don't
not
do
Robert.
That.
Yeah. And I would, and by the way, I'm hoping I can get a little update from you if you've heard anything about the doll I sent you.
Sure.
But I have a doll that is a reproduction of an elf or a troll, if you will, from Germany. And we have both good and bad things. For example, we have, you know, we call it the good luck bear, a very super soft, a fluffy bear that, you know, people, when they rub him, they tell me they have had all kinds of wonderful experiences. But then we have these little dolls that sometimes are connected with trolls and elves in the old European tradition. And apparently, when you would walk through some of these areas, like the Black Forest, sometimes you would see a little doll of an elf that was placed there in order to represent the fact that people had indeed seen some kind of an elf or a troll that lived in that area. And if you want to pass through that area safely, you leave some kind of a reward. Some people carry little stones in their pockets that are highly polished and smooth. Some people will carry particular types of seeds. Some will drop a coin. It just depends on the nature of the culture. But if you do not leave some kind of a prize at that area, as represented, of course, by the doll, then afterward, these sprites will follow you around and will, well, they'll make your life a little difficult. I mean, they'll put your fires out. They may dump out some of your valuable resources. You know, tie your shoelaces together, whatever, you know, nothing that's necessarily truly mean-spirited, but enough to pressure you into leaving a prize there.